Hello and welcome to Poets Corner. I am your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Rexy. Today I'll be reading from a book of poetry entitled Best Remembered Poems. So I will be reading poetry from various poets. So I'm calling today Poetry Potpourri. I hope you enjoy some that are new to you and also hear some that you've known a long time. Today I'm going to start with a poem called Rock Me to Sleep by American poet Elizabeth Akers Allen. Backward, turn backward, O time in your flight. Make me a child again just for tonight. Mother, come back from the echoless shore. Take me again to your heart as of yore. Kiss from my forehead the furrows of care. Smooth the few silver threads out of my hair. Over my slumbers, your loving watch keep. Rock me to sleep, mother. Rock me to sleep. Backward, flow backward, O tide of the years. I am so weary of toil and of tears. Toil without recompense, tears all in vain. Take them and give me my childhood again. I have grown weary of dust and decay, weary of flinging my soul wealth away, weary of sowing for others to reap. Rock me to sleep, mother, rock me to sleep. Tired of the hollow, the base, the untrue, mother, oh mother, my heart calls for you. Many a summer the grass has grown green, blossomed and faded, our faces between. Yet with strong yearning and passionate pain, long I tonight for your pretense again. Come from the silence so long and so deep. Rock me to sleep, mother, rock me to sleep. Over my heart, in the days that are flown, no love like mother love ever has shone. No other worship abides and endures, faithful, unselfish, and patient like yours. None like a mother can charm away pain from the sick soul and the world-weary brain. Slumber's soft calms o'er my heavy lids creep. Rock me to sleep, mother, rock me to sleep. Come, let your brown hair, just lighted with gold, fall on your shoulders again, as of old. Let it drop over my forehead tonight, shading my faint eyes away from the light. For with its sunny-edged shadows once more, haply will throng the sweet visions of yore. Lovingly, softly, its bright billows sweep. Rock me to sleep, mother. Rock me to sleep. Mother, dear mother, the years have been long since I last listened your lullaby song. Sing then, and unto my soul it shall seem womanhood's years have been only a dream. Clasped to your heart in a loving embrace, with your light lashes just sweeping my face, never hereafter to wake or to weep, rock me to sleep, mother. Rock me to sleep. Next we have The Tiger by William Blake. Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night, what immortal eye could frame thy fearful symmetry? In what distant deeps or skies burnt the fire of thine eyes? On what wings dare he aspire? What the hand dare seize the fire? And what shoulder and what art could twist the sinews of thy heart? And when thy heart began to beat, what dread hand, what dread feet? What the hammer, what the chain? In what furnace was thy brain? What the anvil, what dread grasp dare its deadly terrors clasp? When the stars threw down their spears and watered heaven with their tears, did he smile his work to see? Did he who made the lamb make thee? Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night, what immortal hand or eye did frame thy fearful symmetry? The next poem is called The Night Has a Thousand Eyes, and it was written by English poet Francis William Bourdillon. The night hath a thousand eyes, and the day but one. Yet the light of the bright world dies with the dying sun. The mind has a thousand eyes, and the heart but one. Yet the light of a whole life dies when love is done. This poem by Robert Browning is titled Pippa's Song. The years at the spring, and days at the morn, mornings at seven, the hillsides dew-pearled, the larks on the wing, the snails on the thorn, God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. And next from Browning, this one is called Meeting at Night. The gray sea and the long black land, and the yellow half-moon, large and low, and the startled little waves that leap in fiery ringlets from their sleep as I gain the cove with pushing prow and quench its speed in the slushing sand. Then a mile of warm sea-scented beach, 3 fields to cross till a farm appears, a tap at the pane, the quick, sharp scratch and blue spurt of a lighted match, and a voice less loud through its joys and fears than 2 hearts beating each to each. The next poem is by Robert Burns, Scotland's most famous poet, and he wrote it in Scots Gaelic, so I'm going to read it exactly as it is written. But it's going to be a little difficult to understand. It's called To a Mouse, but in Scots dialect, it's moose. And it's about his turning up this nest of a little mouse in a field when he was plowing. To a moose. Wee slickit carrin timorous beastie. Oh, what the panics in their breastie. Thou need na start a while sae hasty with bickern brattle. I wad be laith to rin and chase thee with murdering pattle. I'm truly sorry man's dominion has broken nature's social union and justifies that ill opinion which makes thee startle at me, thy poor earth-born companion and fellow mortal. I doubt na whiles, but thou may thieve. What then? Poor beastie, thou mun live. A dame a nicker in a thrave, such small request. I'll get a blessin' with the lave and never miss it. Thy wee bit housey too in ruin. It's silly was the winds are strewin'. And nothing now to big a newin', oh foggage green. And bleak December's winds ensuin', bay snell and keen. Thou saw the fields laid bare and waste, and weary winter coming fast, and cozy here, beneath the blast, thou thought to dwell, till crash! The cruel coulter passed out through thy cell. That wee bit heap of leaves and stibble has cost thee money, a merry nibble. Now thou's turned out, fra thy trouble, but house or huld, to thole the winter's sleety tribble and cranic cold. But, Moosey, thou art no thy lane, in proving foresight may be vain. The best-laid schemes of mice and men gang after glay, and lead us not but grief and pain for promised joy. Still, thou art blessed compared with me. The present only touches thee. But ah, I backward cast my ee on prospects drear, and forward, though I canna see, I guess, and fear. The next poem is called She Walks in Beauty, and it's by George Gordon, Lord Byron. She walks in beauty, like the night of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that's best of dark and bright meet in her aspect and her eyes, thus mellowed to that tender light which heaven to gaudy day denies. One shade the more, one ray the less, had half impaired the nameless grace which waves in every raven tress, or softly lightens o'er her face, where thoughts serenely sweet express how pure, how dear their dwelling place. And on that cheek and o'er that brow, so soft, so calm, yet eloquent, the smiles that win, the tints that glow, but tell of days in goodness spent, a mind at peace with all below, a heart whose love is innocent. The next poem is by Lewis Carroll, and it appeared in Through the Looking Glass. The title is Jabberwocky, and it doesn't seem to make much sense. A lot of the language is made up, but it seems it's about a poem from a father talking to his little son who has a toy sword going out to slay this imaginary dragon character. Jabberwocky. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and jimble in the wave. Oh, mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome wraiths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that scratch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand. Long time the manxome foe he sought, so rested he by the Tumtum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock, with eyes of flame, came whiffing through the tulgey wood, and burbled as it came. One, two, one, two, and through the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head came glumping back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy. O frabjous day, Callooh, Callay, he chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and jimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the gnome wraiths outgrabe. The next poem is called Out Where the West Begins, and it's by an American poet called Arthur Chapman. It was new to me, but here we go. Out where the West begins. Out where the hand shakes a little stronger. Out where the smile dwells a little longer. That's where the West begins. Out where the sun is a little brighter. Where the snows that fall are a trifle whiter. Where the bonds of home are a wee bit tighter. That's where the West begins. Out where the skies are a trifle bluer, out where friendship's a little truer, that's where the West begins. Out where the fresher breeze is blowing, where there's laughter in every streamlet flowing, where there's more of reaping and less of sowing, that's where the West begins. Out where the world is in the making, where fewer hearts in despair are aching, that's where the West begins. Where there's more of singing and less of sighing. Where there's more of giving and less of buying. And a man makes friends without half trying. That's where the West begins. And now two short poems by Emily Dickinson, one of America's greatest poets. The first one is called If I Can Stop One Heart From Breaking. If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can ease one life the aching, or cool one pain, or help one fainting robin into its nest again, I shall not live in vain. The second one is called There Is No Frigate Like a Book. And a frigate is a ship or some sort of boat. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any coursers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without a press or toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. And now a poem from Robert Frost entitled Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sound's the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. This poem by Edgar Guest, English poet, is called It Couldn't Be Done. Somebody said that it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with the trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. Somebody scoffed, "Oh, you'll never do that. At least no one ever has done it." But he took off his coat, and he took off his hat, and the first thing we knew, he'd begun it. With a lift of his chin and a bit of a grin, without any doubting or quit it, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you, one by one, the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it. The next poem is by English poet William Ernest Henley. And it is titled Invictus, which means unconquerable. And it's one of my favorites. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody, but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. The Children's Hour by Henry Wordsworth Longfellow. Between the dark and the daylight, when the night is beginning to lower, comes a pause in the day's occupations that is known as the children's hour. I hear in the chamber above me the patter of little feet, the sound of a door that is opened, and voices soft and sweet. From my study I see in the lamplight, descending the broad hall stair, grave Alice and laughing Allegra, and Edith with golden hair. A whisper, and then silence. Yet I know by their merry eyes they are plotting and planning together to take me by surprise. A sudden rush from the stairway, a sudden raid from the hall. By three doors left unguarded, they enter my castle wall. They climb up into my turret, over the arms and back of my chair. If I try to escape, they surround me. They seem to be everywhere. They almost devour me with kisses, their arms about me entwine, till I think of the Bishop of Bingen in his mouse tower on the Rhine. Do you think, O blue-eyed banditti, because you have scaled the wall, such an old mustache as I am, is not a match for you at all? I have you fast in my fortress, and will not let you depart, but put you down into the dungeon in the round tower of my heart. And there I will keep you forever, yes, forever and a day, till the wall shall crumble to ruin and molder in dust away. Sea Fever by John Masefield. I must go down to the seas again, to the lonely sea and the sky, and all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by, and the wheel's kick and the wind's song and the white sail shaking, and a gray mist on the sea's face and a gray dawn breaking. I must go down to the seas again, for the call of the running tide is a wild call and a clear call that may not be denied. And all I ask is a windy day with the white clouds flying and the flung spray and the blown spume and the seagulls crying. I must go down to the seas again, to the vagrant gypsy life, to the gull's way and the whale's way, where the wind's like a whetted knife. And all I ask is a merry yarn from the laughing fellow rover, and quiet sleep, and a sweet dream when the long trick's over. This poem is called Woodman, Spare That Tree, and it is by George Pope Morris, written sometime between 1810 and 1864, but it sounds very modern nowadays as we worry about Amazon rainforest disappearing, for instance. Woodman, spare that tree. Woodman, spare that tree. Touch not a single bough. In youth it sheltered me, and I'll protect it now. 'Twas my forefather's hand that placed it near his cot. There, woodman, let it stand. Thy axe shall harm it not. That old familiar tree, whose glory and renown are spread over land and sea, and wouldst thou hew it down? Woodman, forbear thy stroke. Cut not its earthbound ties. Oh, spare that aged oak, now towering to the skies. When but an idle boy, I sought its grateful shade. In all their gushing joy, here too my sisters played. My mother kissed me here, my father pressed my hand. Forgive this foolish tear, but let that old oak stand. My heartstrings round thee cling, close as thy bark, old friend. Here shall the wild bird sing, and still thy branches bend. Old tree, the storm will brave, and woodman, leave the spot. While I've a hand to save, thy axe shall hew it not. Annabel Lee by Edgar Allan Poe. It was many and many a year ago, in a kingdom by the sea, that a maiden there lived whom you may know by the name of Annabel Lee. And this maiden she lived with no other thought than to love and be loved by me. I was a child, and she was a child, in this kingdom by the sea, but we loved with a love that was more than love, I and my Annabel Lee. With a love that the winged seraphs of heaven coveted her and me. And this was the reason that long ago, in this kingdom by the sea, a wind blew out of a cloud, chilling my beautiful Annabel Lee, so that her high-born kinsmen came and bore her away from me, to shut her up in a sepulchre in this kingdom by the sea. The angels, not half so happy in heaven, went envying her and me. Yes, that was the reason, as all men know, in this kingdom by the sea, that the wind came out of the cloud by night, chilling and killing my Annabel Lee. But our love was stronger by far than the love of those who were older than we, of many far wiser than we. And neither the angels in heaven above nor the demons down under the sea can ever dissever my soul from the soul of the beautiful Annabel Lee. For the moon never beams without bringing me dreams of the beautiful Annabel Lee, and the stars never rise, but I feel the bright eyes of the beautiful Annabel Lee. And so all the night tide I lie down by the side of my darling, my life and my bride, in the sepulchre there by the sea, in her tomb by the sounding sea. Thank you for listening to Poetry Potpourri. Until next time, this is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Rexy, wishing you good evening. Remember, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then under Programming Links, left-click on Demand Podcasts. You can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.